This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome on into Love of the Star, Super Bowl edition. It's Super Bowl week. Zach Wolchuk alongside Brian Broaddus, the Super Bowl winning scout, as we're hanging out here in New Orleans. We actually did try to record yesterday on Radio Row, and it would have been cool. You would have gotten the backdrop of everything going on. It's one of the best, I think, Radio Rows that I've gotten to experience now, year three, coming out here. But unfortunately, The Wi-Fi wasn't working for us. So now we're in our hotel rooms, but there's always Cowboy content to discuss. But Brian, for you having actually participated and won a Super Bowl, how is this week for you? Like, it's always probably got to bring up some good memories.
Yeah, it does. And especially with it here being in New Orleans, and that's the Super Bowl that, as you mentioned, Super Bowl 31. So gosh, it seems like forever. But yeah, the week tends to go by, it feels like, so slowly. And, you've done a lot of your work at home. You've put a lot of your game plan in at home. You're just waiting for the game. And, you practice, you have your walkthroughs. You really don't want to get anybody hurt. So you're just, there's meetings, there's time that you try and spend a little time with your family or friends that are here, but you're really focused on this game. And when it becomes a reality is when you get on the buses to go to the game and they've basically blocked the entire city for you to get to the stadium. Like, you do not see a car. So, like, the police escort, you were driving through, it's something like out of one of those zombie apocalypse movies, where there's like the last person on earth kind of thing. And it's just so surreal to be driving through major city and having no cars, no people, nothing around you. You just, you're going to the game, and then you actually get to the game, and then the anticipation of being there. I just remember a little funny story. Jim McMahon was our backup quarterback, and I'll never forget sitting in the locker room there at the Superdome at the time, and everybody's just super quiet and nobody's really doing anything. Everybody's just kind of, and McMahon takes a football and he throws it at a nameplate of one of the wide receivers across the locker room, and he misses the nameplate. So Favre sees what he's doing, and Favre takes a ball, tries to hit the same nameplate. So now there's a competition with everybody trying to knock each other's nameplate out of their slots, and the balls are bouncing everywhere, and you're like going, this is not what it's probably supposed to be like before a Super Bowl game, but here we are, and Jim McMahon just kind of having fun. And everybody getting involved in it. Mike Holmgren, the coach, walks in. It's like, what the hell's going on here? And, coach, we're just having a little fun, and everybody then kind of locks back in. So, but yeah, it's a, It's unlike any other game you get ready for, because it's just, there's so much intensity and focus, and but man, the time, Zach, goes by so slowly. And you gotta do things to kind of entertain yourself, and like Jim McMahon did in the locker room before the game.
I love that story. And I also, I mean, I felt last year obviously was in Vegas, this year New Orleans. Like, these are awesome nightlife cities, right? Yeah. So as a coach and somebody that's, you know, in the front office, I'm sure you're just like, every day we just gotta survive. Please, fingers crossed, no incidents with players.
Yeah, and the way that things are nowadays with social media and how rampant it is. I mean, even you and I working at Radio Row, we see it. We see all the podcasters, the TV people, the radio people. And there's so much more focus, and you know, and it, you know, and I think that's good. I mean, it's great that we have as much access to this game and the games around in our sport as we do. And but man, I could not imagine with today's social media and stuff how that would affect how we would have played in 96. Boy, that would have been an interesting, it probably would have even told a funnier story of all the characters, like the Andre Risens and the Jim McMahons and the Brett Favres and those guys that were on our roster.
It's amazing as we count down to Eagles and Chiefs. Maybe one day, maybe 2025, we'll get our Dallas Cowboys in this game. We can pray to the football gods that something will break their way. We do have the staff that's really filling out here, Brian. And I do think, you know, for Cowboy fans that are looking for hope or looking for optimism, I think there's some hirings here that make you feel like, okay, this is a little different. Cowboys hired former Saints running backs coach Derek Foster. He's now going to be their new running backs coach. He was with the Chargers for a few years previously before New Orleans. Andrew Whitecotton is the new defensive line coach. Friday, we got the news Clayton Adams became official on Monday. He's now the offensive coordinator, comes over from Arizona, who's able to run a very unique, complex, really innovative rushing attack, which we've been hoping for. And then Eberflus continues. And I know you got to run in with him while we were doing one of our shows out on remote, which maybe you can share some of that conversation. But all in all, I mean, what are you thinking of Shoddy's staff so far? Some guys that they're not necessarily super familiar with, like Whitecotton, and then the other coaches that they brought in with Clayton Adams don't really have familiarity with Shoddy or anybody else on the staff.
No, they don't. And, you know, that's the positive thing with this coaching staff is that, you know, there's some coaches now. You bring back Lunda Wells, which I think was a very good re-signing for the Cowboys. I think Lunda had done a really nice job with the tight ends, and, you know, he continues to be able to do that work. You know, there's people in the organization, you've probably heard me say this before, that believe that he could have absolutely be your offensive line coach if they had to. Now, you know, with Adams, I was told right now that Adams will coach the offensive line and Lunda will coach the tight ends. There's some whispers that maybe that they might go out and get another offensive line coach. We'll see how that all plays out. But as of right now, as you and I tape this broadcast, it is going to be Wells at tight end, Adams at offensive line. And that's fine if that's how it works out. You made mention, I had a chance to visit, you know, with Matt Eberflus. It was kind of funny. We were on our show on remote, and they happened to be staying at a hotel next to the Star. And Matt, you know, that he was going on his way to the Star, and just so happened that Ruben Portillo, our engineer, said, "Hey, I think that's Eberflus." And I jumped up, as you saw, I took my headset off and said, "Hey guys, I got to go for a second." So I went and talked to Flus, and, you know, I yelled at him. I'm like, "Hey, Flus." He turned the corner, he looked back, he says, "Brian Broaddus, how you doing, man?" I said, "Well, I'm great, doing radio, you know, da 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 da." And, you know, just kind of talking to him about how excited I was to see him again, how happy, you know, with unfortunately what happened with him with the Bears, you know, didn't bring up any questions like, "Hey man, why didn't you call a timeout? You know, you could have probably called a timeout and won that game."
Oh, that infamous Thanksgiving Day game.
Yeah, no questions there. But he was excited about the staff he was putting together. He was excited about you know, the opportunity of coming back to Dallas. He was excited about the players that he was going to get to work with. you know, we'll see how many players he actually gets to work with, because that's a pretty significant free agent list over there. When you talk about Oso Digizua, Golston, you know, Jordan Lewis, guys like that, this is probably going to be a, you know, the cornerstone will be, of course, Micah Parsons. And, you know, you'll have to build around some young players that they have currently on the roster. But it's going to look remarkably different, I think, than what we've seen in the last few years under, like, the Dan Quinn administration and the Mike Zimmer administration that has been here the last, you know, 4 years. So it's an exciting time. I'm glad that they're hiring coaches that are outside of the organization. That tells me that the front office, yes, they can make suggestions about, hey, would you consider this guy? Would you consider this guy? I think they're letting Shoddy and Flus and those guys hire the coaches that they're comfortable being with. So we'll see how it shakes out here. And, you know, in this season.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Peace.
So the other development that occurred yesterday here at Radio Row, we had Zach Martin and Brandon Aubrey walking around. And Zach Martin was asked several questions, mainly about his future. And he did have an interesting quote saying, "I think people forget I'm a free agent, too. I'll figure out if I am, where I'm playing, and if I'm not, then obviously you guys will hear about that, just trying to get healthy, make a decision down the road." So for Zach, it's one, does he want to keep playing? Does he decide, hey, I am ready to retire? Health, I think, will go a long way towards that. He did specify in that quote, hey, I just want to get healthy. But he is a free agent, and it didn't sound like he was necessarily closing the door on testing the free agent market. And it's a foregone conclusion. If he wants to keep playing, he's coming back to the Cowboys.
Right.
What are we thinking about Zach Martin's future right now?
I think I think that if you absolutely want Zach Martin back, you're going to have to convince him to come play for you. If Zach Martin is talking about getting healthy and not talking about retirement, then I think there's a good chance that you're going to have to not only recruit Zach Martin, you're going to have to pay Zach Martin. And there's probably some teams out there that if he's interested in playing again, that will give him an opportunity. We saw what Tyron Smith, what Tyron Smith was able to do. You know, Tyron Smith had a nice season a couple of years ago, but the Cowboys were, you know, willing to draft Tyler Guyton and move on from Tyron Smith. I guess the same could be said for Zach Martin here. I think that if Zach Martin wants to play, the Dallas Cowboys are going to have to, if they're interested, they're going to have to get in there and make a legitimate offer. I don't think you can veteran minimum him or lowball him in any way. If he's healthy and ready to go and wants to give it another campaign, I'm sure one of the other 31 teams would be very interested in having a guy like Zach Martin on their roster for, you know, one season, two seasons, however long that Zach feels like he is able to go. But last season was, by all standards, was really a disaster for him when it came to his health and then the level of play. I think the level of play had a lot to do with how banged up he really was. And we kind of felt like that Father Time is undefeated, as we all know. Was starting to get the better of him. But if he is thinking about saddling this thing up again, then I think all teams would be absolutely interested in hearing what it's going to take to get him to play at his all-pro Hall of Fame right guard position.
I think that's probably where I'm struggling as someone who, like, Zach Martin's probably on my fan Mount Rushmore of all-time mm-hmm. favorite Cowboys. I hate the idea of him going out like that. Yeah. But we did just see it with Tyron Smith, and he Absolutely. Left. Yeah. And he was in a New York Jets uniform last year. Could we be in year two for that? And then from a Cowboys perspective, I guess you have to figure out, in watching the All-22, I think we started to see 2 years ago, Zach mm-hmm. Martin wasn't quite the same level that he were accustomed to seeing, the all-pro Zach Martin, to your point, Brian. So as much as I'd like to say this is injury-related, and if he's healthy, Zach's mm-hmm. still somebody you want on your team, they do got to figure out, hey, is father time really just catching up to him, and should they just mm-hmm. go ahead and move on? And maybe that's through the draft. Maybe that's in-house if they want to shuffle some things. Maybe they liked what they saw from a Brock Hoffman. I know we have discussed, I think the more you see yeah. Brock Hoffman, the more you're realizing – okay, he is a really good backup player to come in and play for you yeah. in a pinch, but if he's got to start 17 games, you might see some of those warts.
Yeah, I think you put it very well, Zach. Brock Hoffman for 5 to 6 games is winning football. Brock Hoffman for 17 weeks might not be the best recipe, and I think that's why with you and I, the way that we work on the draft, the way that we talk about potentially, guys that could be, the Bookers from Alabama. My personal favorite, though, when you look at him or Banks from Texas, the tackle, and Campbell from LSU, these, who would be a guy that could come in and probably is better suited to play guard than play tackle? And there's several of those. This draft is full of guys that have, and it's not just a flexibility thing. It might be ability in college, and it might be just the way their body types are structured that they're going to have to play certain positions. So it's a interesting group of offensive linemen. If the Cowboys go that route, they have to be encouraged by what they saw with Brock Hoffman. There's going to be, do you think about, well, move Cooper Beebe? And that's, to me, that's one of those things, man. You've invested a year in him. You've got him playing at a pretty nice level with the opportunity of probably getting better at the position. And considering what this offensive line coach likes to do with outside zone, inside zone, the pin and pulls, the counters, the traps, having an athletic center makes a world of difference. And the one thing Cooper Beebe got better at was not only handling blocks along the line of scrimmage, but second level blocks. And so do you just say, okay, we're going to flush a year of Cooper Beebe working at center to play him at guard? That's always a possibility. Then, I haven't yet to see a center in this draft that I really like, Zach. And so to me, that's probably going to, if they're going to move guys, it's probably going to have to be internal. And, I wonder, can the Cowboys afford to draft another offensive lineman? Can they afford to take another tackle? And I know you and I have talked about Josh Simmons from Ohio State. There's mm-hmm. some medical concerns that you're going to have to deal with. But addressing this offensive line could very well likely come from some internal candidates more so than maybe even bringing Zach Martin back.
This is the Love of the Star podcast. You're listening to Love of the Star. It is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.